You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards and Keith Alexander here in studio this Saturday evening, March 29th. Confederate History Month begins next week. Stay tuned for that. Going to be an awesome April here in TPC. Back to our first of three featured guests this evening, Dr. Roger Devlin, PhD. Keith Alexander wrapping up what has turned into a three-part series with the venerable guest. It started on March 2nd. Then I think we had a week break. He was on last week. And wrapping up tonight, Keith, where does it go from here into the next two segments?
Well, we're going to talk about another one of Dr. Devlin's signature articles, Rotating Polyandry and Its Adherence. But first, before we do that, one of our loyal, longtime listeners has written and said that she was right on board with us until we said that so many women had been brainwashed by feminist propaganda against the old family wage regime where the man brought home the bacon and the woman kept the home fires burning. She said a lot of men have been brainwashed too, and she's absolutely right, and that's even more incredible. What's going on there, Roger?
Well, there are men that misguidedly, they don't want to lose the second income. Since the economy has been rearranged in this way, now families do really suffer. As I was saying, wages for one-income families went down 14% in 20 years at the time women were entering the workforce in great numbers. That's in the 70s and 80s. It's probably gone down farther since then. So it's a very bad situation. Now that we have destroyed the family wage system, it's difficult to go back to it. It's very difficult for people to make it on one wage anymore. So you get women, whereas maybe a generation ago, women were entering the workplace feeling liberated and feeling like they were pioneers. Now they do it because they just can't make it without it.
And a lot of women are very upset about that. And again, when it comes to feminine dissatisfaction with their opportunities in life, I dare say that there are probably twice as many women in America that are upset that their husbands can no longer earn enough money to allow them to come stay at home and take care of the children than there are women upset about their lack of opportunities for career advancement and good-paying jobs in the workplace.
And there would be many more of them if it weren't for the young women who no longer have even heard of such a thing as a family wage. They've only ever experienced the feminist regime, and they don't know that there's anything that is possible to have something better.
And I think now, a lot of men, too, again, to even the scale, basically can't conceive of going back to the family wage system where the man was the principal breadwinner and an average man could earn enough money to support his family without the necessity of his wife working outside the home.
And
that's just,
this,
you know, that's a pipe dream in the eyes of so many men and women in today's America.
Yeah, well, if our taxes were not as, you know, one of the big factors has been that women entering the workforce saw also a big rise in our taxes, which took most of any extra money that was produced. It requires change in policy. It's not just something where women can drop out of the workforce if they want to, because a lot of families are dependent on it. And we have to move away from the anti-discrimination principle. The family wage system is not compatible with the idea of equal pay for equal work. Under the family wage system, the sexes were treated differently. In those days, if you looked at the want ads in the newspaper, they were divided into two sections. There was women's employment and men's employment, and men's employment usually paid more. This was not thought unjust because men and women were understood to be different. Men were expected to provide for their families, and so they had a right to expect wages that permitted them to do this. Women had fewer rights, but only because they had fewer responsibilities.
And, you know, there are a lot of women that do drop out of the workforce, at least temporarily, when they have children. And
yes.
Because of the demise of the family wage system, they do suffer economically. Of
yeah.
course, there's another way and another factor involved in causing people to feel impoverished, and that's the divorce industry. And that's
yeah.
the specific mm-hmm. subject of the other article I mentioned, mm-hmm. Rotating Polyandry and Its Adherence,
yeah.
one of your signature articles. Mm-hmm. Tell us about why that is, Dr. Devlin.
Well, we spoke a little bit last time about the four-year cycle and about chemicals that govern how we feel about our mates. There is a, in the early stages of a relationship, a woman is typically very excited. It's a euphoric feeling, and one researcher discovered that men refer to the excitement of this early stage of a romance as infatuation, whereas women refer to it as being in love. And they have the idea that it's going to last forever, that if they just marry the right man, they're going to be excited and euphoric for the rest of their lives. Whereas most men seem to understand that intense feelings cannot last. It works like a drug, you know. Women, you develop a tolerance to it. You need higher and higher doses to get the same effect. And in the end, as the song says, the thrill is gone.
B.B. King.
in a monogamous society, what you do then is you turn your attention to other things like raising your children. But today, Cosmo magazine is encouraging women to just search for a newer thrill, which means looking for a new man. And they also, you got the force of feminism encouraging women to blame their loss of excitement on their husband instead of their own, you know, neurochemicals.
Well, you know, another thing that you said in this article, I think that is really insightful, Roger, is mm-hmm. that the institution of marriage is no longer taken seriously by large segments of the population.
Mm-hmm.
They do not see marriage as a covenant made with God or
right.
vows made before God that would have serious mm-hmm. consequences were they not followed. For example, saying that you're going to love, honor, and obey for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, things like that, that's just like something borrowed, something blue. It's
right,
just
right.
a nice
it's
sentiment,
like,
but certainly
like
not binding,
deal.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one of the problems I think that you, and this was, I think, a stroke of genius on your part, you said specifically that a lot of women don't take that seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't think they're capable of being anything but monogamous. They've bought into the
yeah.
typical thinking that men are naturally polygamous and therefore anti-marriage, but women are naturally monogamous, and therefore if they feel dissatisfaction with their mate in some way or another, then it must be the fault of the man and not
That's
their
right.
fault, because after all, they're naturally monogamous. Let's
right.
break it right there, and I want you to get right back on that after
all right.
we have these words from our sponsors.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
I was sharing with our esteemed guest, Matt the Copperhead, who's driven all the way down from New York City to be with us in the studio tonight, that this interview with Roger Devlin, conducted by Keith Alexander, has given me a nice little respite on a day when I desperately need it. I'm only 30. What year is this? I'm 33. I'll be 34 this summer, but I don't have the stamina that I used to. Today was my daughter's 4-year-old birthday party, and we've been up since 4 preparing for that. We had 40 people over, about 12 toddlers, and I'm worse for the wear tonight. So this has been great. As I listen to the show, I enjoy it as a member of the listening audience here before I get back on deck here for the last half of the program coming up. But it's been great. You know, we've been heavy on series this month. Eddie with The Economist in recent weeks. Roger Devlin in his third and final appearance for now, and then Confederate History Month coming up next week. So, Keith, we've got a few minutes left with Roger. How do you wrap it all up?
Well, Roger, first of all, let me ask you, did I misrepresent your position, which is basically that women don't seem to apprehend that they have a sin nature when it comes to the failure of marriages?
Yes. The emphasis on male infidelity means that a lot of women think they should not have to try to be faithful. And if they find themselves having difficulty with that, they'll blame it on a man or anything except for themselves.
For example, the thrill is gone. Apparently, the men are part of their duty is to be the thriller and the woman to be the thrillee. And if the man no longer thrills, then the man's deficient. And again, it gets back to this commonplace notion that women are naturally monogamous.
As if
and men are naturally not monogamous.
Instead of just supporting her. Now, Keith, I really got to get to the divorce industry. This is a big, big subject which we haven't left enough time for. A lot of men are unaware of the vast industry involving many thousands of people that is devoted to encouraging divorce. This includes family court judges, therapists, social workers, feminist activists, and many, many, many lawyers. These people make their living off divorce, and so they have a vested interest in seeing that marriages break up and that as many marriages break up as possible. I've read about cases where social workers and therapists working in this area have actually lost their jobs. They've been fired when it was discovered that they were encouraging couples to reconcile.
Well, you know, and you left out a whole category, Christian counselors, so-called Christian counselors. And again, you think a Christian counselor would be telling people coming to them to get back together with their spouse, but that rarely happens.
Yeah, I've heard that when a man is unfaithful, the church's position is that he was unfaithful. And when the woman is unfaithful, the church's position is that the man must have done something that forced the woman to look for love from another man. I hear a lot about that.
Well, you know, not only is there a divorce industry out there, there's a marriage industry that cashes in on the serial monogamy that you mentioned at times.
Yes. Weddings have become much more expensive and costly as marriage has become more fragile. I'd like to talk a little bit about the child support system.
Yeah, remarriages, and, you know, the average marriage now costs around $28,000, I understand.
Oh.
Not mine.
Yeah, right. When men are divorced, first of all, it's very easy for a woman to get out of a marriage. All she has to do is call up the cops and claims that she's afraid of her husband or claim that he's abusing her. And you should see the things that are considered abuse. You don't have to present evidence. All you have to say is that your husband's ignoring you. That counts as abuse. Not giving you enough pocket money. That counts as abuse. When you hear the expression spousal abuse, you get this image of a guy beating up his wife, but that's not true at all. More or less, anything a woman doesn't like can count as abuse. And she can have her husband removed from his own house simply by calling up the police. And she can get a restraining order taken out against him. Restraining orders are more or less given out by judges like candy, the way... Any time a woman wants one, they make things illegal for the man that would otherwise be legal. For example, I know of one case in the United Kingdom where a man was under a restraining order not to talk to his child. He met his child accidentally on the street one day and greeted the child. He was sentenced to 10 months in prison for it, for violating a restraining order.
Well, you know, in America, as a lawyer, I'm aware of the Violence Against Women's Act, which was passed under pressure from feminists, and it provides federal block grants to local law enforcement agencies, but the money is predicated on them having a certain number of prosecutions, successful prosecutions, against domestic violence. So it's basically putting a bounty system on males.
Forcing them to fabricate cases so they can get in on
gravy train.
This tax money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a gravy train, and you know all of these law enforcement agencies feel like they have budget constraints, so they're all very anxious to play the game and pretend that they have a great domestic violence problem because they can cash in if they do.
There is no evidence that there is actually any kind of epidemic of domestic violence in America. What there is an epidemic of hysteria about domestic violence, an epidemic of, government handouts for domestic violence. But the real thing is no more common than it ever was. Now, let me say a little bit about child support, too, another phrase that means something quite different from what it is usually taken to mean. Divorced men, as long as they have children, always have to pay child support. The amounts are unrelated to what it actually costs to raise a child. They're much greater. There are incentives to the states for making child support payments as large as possible, as onerous as possible. And there's no control on what mothers do with the money. The mothers can spend the money on whatever they want, even on their adulterous boyfriends, so that some fathers are, in effect, forced by the state to pay for their own cuckolding. Divorce formerly was something that was economically disastrous for couples, but now, with child support payments getting so high, a lot of times the divorcing mother sees a big rise in her standard of living.
And, you know, all of this is linked to the rise of no-fault divorce, which was a liberal innovation that it was as much a part of liberalism as the civil rights movement, for example.
Right.
No-fault divorce, back in the days before no-fault divorce, you had fault divorce.
Right.
And if you were the culpable or guilty party, guilty of wrongdoing. For example, if a woman was the adulteress, but she was the person committing adultery, she wouldn't get custody of the child under most circumstances, unless the man was equally bad. So consequently, you basically just, there was a great incentive back in the old days to keep your nose clean and behave and to keep the marriage afloat and not to commit the type of misconduct that was grounds for divorce. Now, women are presumed almost across the board to be the appropriate and the preferred custodian of the children.
Right.
And they get child support regardless of their misconduct and way that that misconduct contributed to the breakup of the marriage.
Presumptive male custody was the norm throughout Christendom until the late 19th century. It's a new innovation, and it gives women, or it rewards women for being irresponsible and punishes men. Men, as I say, they have to pay child support, they have their wages garnished, and they can be thrown in jail if they are unable to pay the amount determined by the court. Not just unwilling, but unable.
So don't ever let anybody tell you that debtor's prison is a thing of the past.
Right. When I was little, we learned in school about debtor's prison and what an irrational system it was to throw a person in jail just because he had a debt, because there he couldn't work to get the money to repay the debt. And it was a big deal abolishing debtor's prisons a couple of centuries ago. Well, now we have them back again, thanks to feminism and the divorce industry.
Well, thank you so much, Roger. We've got to go to a commercial break now. It's always wonderful to have you on. Thank you for your insights, and we look forward to having you on again.
All right. Thanks so much, Keith.
Thank you.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, folks, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I want to thank again Roger Devlin for his contribution to the show three different occasions this month. And certainly what he and Keith are talking about, it is a scourge on our families. But that is not to say at all. And don't get the impression, folks, that this is an indictment upon all women. It is not. I mean, unfortunately, you see the things that Roger was bringing to the forefront on this show manifest themselves far more often in today's decadent and immoral an anti-family society than you did in eras past. But certainly there are strong families, great women, great mothers, great wives out there that we know and that we love. I wouldn't dare to reason what percentage are good, decent women versus the alternative that Keith and Roger have been focusing on. But I speak from my own experience. I met my wife at church when she was a teenager and I was in my early 20s. She's my best friend. We've been together since 2002. We've been married since 06. We have one child, another on the way. Greatest mother in the world. Has all the maternal instincts. I mean, every man would be so lucky and blessed to have a wife like that. I know Sam Bushman has the same kind of family. Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Keith was had a great wife until she passed away. So, you know, they are out there. And I want to make that clear. And don't give up on finding them. Unfortunately, though, political correctness and all of this onslaught that we face, this is just one of the battles that we find ourselves facing. It has, you know, unfortunately, delivered results that aren't favorable to the Christian way of life. That being said, and I wanted to issue that little caveat because I thoroughly enjoyed Devlin's critiques, especially when he got into the divorce industry, which is just such a racket and such an abomination, and what it does to our people is horrific. Sam Bushman is my guest right now. It's been way too long since he has last graced our broadcast. He is, of course, the owner of Liberty News Radio Network and the nationally syndicated host of the Liberty Roundtable show, which you can hear every weekday morning here on this network. Sam, so great to have you back, brother.
Thank you, sir. I want to make a quick comment on the Roger Devlin and Keith Alexander commentary. Number one, I think they're dead on. And I want to point to, in my opinion, what the real issue is. Obviously, it's an issue of immorality. We all get that. But we can blame the state. We can blame governments and laws and money and all kind of things. But at the heart of it all, in my humble opinion, is this selfishness that's being developed in the next generations of Americans. You know, Americans used to work hard and consider it a blessing to just wear themselves out in the efforts for their family, to make a living, to do the things that mattered, to have something, to be something, to become something. It was us, not me. And now we've kind of just spiraled down into the me, my plan. And I submit to you that's at the heart of it. And if we want to change it, it's going to change people to believe that once you get married, you need to think of the other person greater than yourself. Once you have a family, you need to think of the children. Don't just think of yourself and say, you know, the children will survive even if I ditch the woman, or the woman ditches the man. It all comes down to selfishness, where we've got a me mentality. And I submit to you that the only way to turn that around is to change that, where people say, what can I give, not what can I get? And until we get that done, it's not going to get any better.
Sam, you're spot on. I hadn't even intended when welcoming you to the show to get into that. I just felt led to do so because it is an issue that people are passionate about. You know, we talk about a lot of things on this show, immigration, the media. You pick a topic that we address. People can relate to it. They understand it. But it's not something that's under their roofs. You know, everybody can, or almost everybody, understands what it's like to be married, understands what relationships are like, the ones that failed, the ones that worked. Everybody has an opinion on male and female unions. And so that's why I think the Devlin series that we've hosted this month have received such an intense reaction, both positive and some believing that it was just an attack on women, which it certainly was not, which is why I brought
that. It's an attack on the me mentality at all levels.
Well, it is. It is. And I think they were very fair and forthright and forthcoming, and they covered all the bases. But it was a great series, and I appreciate you offering your assessment of it as well. Now, getting to what I wanted to talk to you about, we had, I think, made the
appointment to discuss the need of independent media because of another issue that had been brought to our attention last week, and then this issue that we were in yesterday with the news and the situation with which I found myself embroiled with the reporters is just gravy for what we're going to be talking about. But it's the need for honest and sincere, transparent, independent media. Mark Dice, everybody, I don't know if everyone knows Mark Dice, but we've talked about him on the show a time or two. This is the guy, a libertarian, constitutionalist, activist. I've never met him, never spoke to him, but I love his YouTube videos. His YouTube videos have gone viral, to say the least. He has a huge following out there. And basically what he does is he just, I don't know if you would, mocking's not the right word.
He'll get on the street with an off-the-wall kind of an idea that's just preposterous if you're educated. So he'll say, hey, James, did you know that Martin Luther King died last night? It's horrible. They're going to be having his funeral on Saturday. You know, are you going to be attending that funeral? Do you think you can go? Yeah, Martin Luther King just died, and Martin Luther King just passed away, and people just absolutely go with it, and I think they're just ignorant and don't want to be embarrassed by saying, wait, Martin Luther King who? Martin Luther King Jr., you know what, he was assassinated years ago, what are you talking about? They don't have the guts to stand up to him, and so he creates these comical videos, but they're really, in my opinion, more of an expose, an insight into the reason that we have the problems in America we have, right?
And it's because of the woeful ignorance of the voting public. I mean, these people vote. If you know, I'm sure some of them do, but that's one example. Just things like that. You know, if gun control had been more strict in Roman times, would Lee Harvey Oswald have been able to assassinate Jesus Christ? That was one we talked about on the show recently. And people, you know, there are some, but they are few and far between. This just call him on it and say, what are you talking about? You know, people go had stricter gun laws back in the Roman times. So this is what he does. And I think it was you, Sam, who brought it to my attention, was that YouTube has sanctioned this brigade, I don't know what you would call them, these censors that they go in and they can just shut down a channel for any type of speech they don't like. Was it hate speech, though? Were they referring to Mark Dice's commentary as hate speech? I believe they were.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing. He never mentions race. He never mentions anything. I mean, even if he did mention race, if he's presenting it in a thoughtful, you know, and well-reasoned way like we do, you know, you can't dismiss that. Let's have a debate about some of these issues. But no, he wasn't even doing what Colin Flaherty does.
Let me stop you for a second, James, just to make, in my opinion, a greater point here. I'm not for hate speech, and I wouldn't use hateful speech towards anybody personally,
sure.
Okay? However, I will tell you this. The First Amendment does not say you're allowed to speak your mind unless it's considered hate speech by the masses, and then you can't speak it anymore. So you know what? Even though I wouldn't use hate speech or hateful behavior towards another, I'm going to defend someone's right to say what they want to say, and if it's something I don't like, I'm still going to defend their right, because what if I have something to say that people don't like? And so you know what? I'm defending people's right to use hate speech if they want. I'd recommend against it. I'd use my influence and my media to not have that happen. But I'm going to defend somebody's right, even if they use hate speech, because who defines what hate speech is the problem.
Well, Sam, that's an excellent point. There's nothing I can say that can improve upon your observation. And, of course, hate speech is anything someone says that liberals don't like. But my point is, he doesn't even talk about these things. It's not hateful at all. He comes up with these off-the-wall remarks, and
I think it's quite comical on one hand,
but they censored him by saying it was hate speech and took down his channel on YouTube. Now you say, well, YouTube is a private entity, they can do whatever they want to. I guess that's true to an extent, but it just goes to show that I believe the vice is tightening on freedom of speech here in America and what passes for incendiary talk and what doesn't.
It is. And you're right. However, there was a big backlash, so much so that they changed their mind. So yes, that they as a corporate entity or as a privately owned company or whatever you want to call it, Google, I guess you could say it's a publicly traded company or whatever. At some point, they can do what they want to in the private sector. I agree. On the other hand, you know what? They'll suffer the backlash, and you and I will vote with our money. And enough people got mad and put it to Google, who owns YouTube, to the point where they had to back off and change their mind, sir.
That's right. They did. And that was the follow-up to this. He was taking down for a couple of days, not very long. And then the outcry was so substantial that YouTube, Google reversed its decision, but it was, without question, a trial run.
Not only was it a trial run, however, I think it gave Mark Dice actually more promo than he would have got otherwise, and I think we need to deliver a harder message next time when they try to do this, and we need to have folks like me and you and others creating alternative media solutions so when they try to do this again, we can mock them and laugh at them and make new media take center stage and give them a run for their money. That's what I think.
We're going to talk more about it with the incomparable Sam Bushman right after this, folks. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss what we have to say in this last segment of the second hour.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution. The Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Get on the show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, folks, so we were talking there about the Mark Dice episode and how he was facing censorship just because he offers up a critique of American society and culture that...
And James, I want to add what he really does. In addition to offering up a critique that embarrasses the public and et cetera. What he does is he runs an end run around the gatekeepers, and that's what they can't stand. They don't want reporting outside of their gatekeeping. They don't want reporting outside of their control, and that's exactly what he does. It's almost like Michael Dell of the media. He takes it from the street and delivers it right to the people, and they're afraid if enough Americans get the picture that they can do that too, and then he's successful at doing that. Drudge kind of made an edge in that way. Now Mark Dice is doing it. Guys like me build radio networks. They don't know what to do with us.
That's right, Sam. You nailed it. It's a conglomeration of all that. The Mark Dices, the Sam Bushmans, what we do, our part. All of these vast and varied voices of independent media is really breaking through and taking away the power that the so-called establishment, or dare I say mainstream, I mean, we're as mainstream as anyone here on AM radio, but what passes for mainstream, really taking the power that they have over our thoughts and the way that they condition our thinking, really taking that away from them. Now,
by the way, go watch the movie Newsies to see what's happening and what happened in Newsies. And you know what? Put that into a reality matrix for today, and you've about got it, James.
Well, I'll have to check that out, and that'll be homework assignment for everyone else listening out there in Radio Land. But so it's not just YouTube, though, of course, Sam. It's not just Google and the censorship there of Mark Dice. This is across-the-board type censorship. Censorship so much to the extent that you cannot find a truly authentic conservative and constitutional voice. Fox News says some things from time to time that's okay. Yeah, I get that. But I mean, they're really not in opposition with the powers that be. They really don't want to see a restoration of the Republic. They just want to keep everybody wrapped up in the two-party duopoly. And their side is the Republican side. Sam, you saw this years ago when you went into radio, when you built Liberty News Radio. You're a little longer in the tooth in radio than I am, even though we're celebrating 10 years on the air. Has it gotten worse? Has the vice tightened?
Yeah, the vice and abuse has gotten worse, but so has the folks basically challenging the gatekeepers. In other words, the new media is taking center stage, challenging them. You know what? We've taken off the gloves. We're taking on the mainstream press like never before. So, yes, they've tightened the noose, but, yes, folks are finding ways around it to their chagrin. They don't know what to do now, James. They really don't. And that's why you see, even though they're not reporting the truth, they're telling a lot more of the stories and a lot more of the truth that they would or than they would if we weren't here. In other words, they're being forced to come to the table with dialogue. Proof in the pudding, they let Ron Paul in 2012 flat out talk about shutting down the Federal Reserve on the national campaign stage. Without us, you think they would have been able to do that?
Hey,
not a chance on this greenery.
There you go. You can force them to change. You can force yourself to break through in some areas. And I know you've noticed this as well. I was sharing the experience I had yesterday with reporters with regard to a story in South Carolina. You've gotten that too, Sam, right? Where you have been interviewed as your position as a talk radio host and your position as a talk radio host, and you don't say what they want to hear, and they don't print it at all. No rebuttal.
Yeah, let me tell you what happened to me in my own county. I organized a meeting, brought in nationally known speakers. I spoke and emceed the whole meeting, and they covered the whole meeting and didn't even mention that I existed or I was there. And then they said that they talked to the people that planned the meeting, and they said this and this and this. Well, I was the one that planned the meeting. What do you mean they talked to me? They didn't. They lied. And I even confronted the reporter about it.
Talking about, I mean, no secret. I know you would. Anybody that's ever met Sam Bushman in the flesh, he's a bulldog and he doesn't back down. And God bless him for it. Is this
my response? Is you can report what you want, but what you can't do is just flat out leave out facts and ignore truths. You guys said that you talked to the people that planned the meeting, and you did not, because I'm the one, and I know you didn't talk to me, and you're lying. That's what I told him. You're lying to the people, because I'm the one that planned the meeting, and you said you talked to us, and this is what we're saying. They said that we called it an uprising, for example, and that's not what we said at all, and I gave them a copy of the flyer that we used for the event, and I just nailed into the wall.
And Sam, you know, we here are obviously AM, FM radio, nationally syndicated, but we don't pretend to represent both sides. We have an agenda here. We make no bones about it. When you are talking to a daily newspaper, yes, you know they're biased, and yes, you know they skew to the left, but you still have, not you personally, but most people still think that they will at least report the other side.
Not me.
There's a slave. You heard. I said we were going to play a clip. I don't want to even get to the clip because I don't want to waste 5 minutes of time when I could be talking to you instead. Folks, if you want to hear the clip that the SBLC sent to the media.
And we can save it till next week, by the way.
We can save it to next week and revisit it. There's nothing to it. It was completely polite, cordially. It says nothing inflammatory, the lieutenant governor. Anyway, but in that story with me yesterday, Sam, I'd like to ask your opinion of that. You know, that they did not report at all what I said. You've already established that you've had similar experiences, but not any rebuttal that, yes, there is a side that is still partial to the Southern culture.
The closer you are to the truth, James, the more accurate you are and more credible and more articulate you are, the more they will not take you on. If they think they can slice and dice you, they'll give you a chance. But if they know they can't, they won't.
And, of course, if you feel the caricature, if I'd have got on there and used racially incendiary language, I would have had, you know, paragraphs dedicated to what I said. But it all just goes to this, to come full circle. The issue with Mark Dice, the fact that even when you make news, even when you are the news story, the political cesspool was the news story, they still wouldn't print anything that we had to say. We're getting around that. That is why, and this was the point of this interview, a large part of it anyway, that is why independent news sources, venues like this network, folks, you like the political cesspool, thank Sam Bushman for it. He built us a platform. The Liberty News Radio Network gives the political cesspool a voice. Without Sam Bushman, without this network, there would be no cesspool.
We're all working together on it for sure. A caller just dialed in and said, hey, not only did Mark Dice do an end run around the media, not only does he mock them and all that stuff, but he reported on the Satanism that's involved in the music industry, and he's nailing the government. He's doing it. So that point's exactly correct. I just didn't go into the details of that for the sake of time, but the caller's 1,000% on target. He didn't want to go on the air, but he wanted that point made, and he's absolutely right.
And listen, there's no shortage of examples from which we could draw. It's not just us. It's not just Dice. It's hundreds and thousands of independent news sources, whether it's, you know, online blogs, with, you know, they're being shut out. No matter how big the following, no matter how credible, no matter how legitimate, they don't have a voice. That you have to. There are two sides to any story, folks, except if you rely on cable television or your daily newspaper to give you your daily bread. There are, you know, and Sam, we know because of the stupidity of the American people as brought to our attention by Mark Dice, brought into sharp focus by Dice, that, you know, we take for granted that people would just stand a reason that there's another side, but maybe they don't. And that makes the work of independent media all the more important.
They don't acknowledge or realize that there's another side to the story because they've never been given that dynamic. In other words, you got choice A or B. They'll always give you two choices so you believe there's two sides, but it's like the left-right paradigm of politics. It's a lie. It's either constitutional or moral or right or not. And that's the paradigm, not the left-right lie. And so what they don't want you to choose is choice C. What they don't want you to do is think outside the box. What they will not allow you to do is come up with your own answers, your own solutions, your own thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. They want you to be groupthink. They want you to do what you're told. They don't want you to think for yourself and say, wait a minute, I'm not doing that. Or wait a minute, you know what, I want to do this. They want you to do what they dictate. As long as they give you the A and B, you're free to choose. But you choose C, and you're an absolute evil, psychotic. You got to be a racist. You're a right wing extremist, conspiracy nut. And they'll just go right because they cannot deal with the message, so they'll attack the messenger.
Sam, this has been a very fast two segments. I can't believe it's already almost the end of the hour. So I guess I have time for one last parting shot with you, and that would be as we see the establishment sources becoming more entrenched and solidifying their ranks with regards to either misrepresenting alternative media and voices for what they truly stand for, or just shutting them out altogether. The independent media still continues to grow. How does this all end? Do you think that venues like this will ever break through to the point where it is seen not just as a cult following, not just, yes, we're top 10, we're this, we're that, in terms of internet listenership, we break through and we are the establishment at some point? Could it possibly happen?
No, what you'll get is you'll get a, you know how you got the red and blue states now?
Yeah.
Okay, what you'll have is a greater and greater and greater divided America. You'll have the inner cities and the liberals and the people on the dole, and the list goes on and on, loving the mainstream press and just fawning all over, and them becoming even greater rock stars and greater entrenched. But you'll get more of the constitutionalists, the patriots, the moral people, you know, people who believe in the conservatism and beliefs that we do, that they'll just simply say, you know what, I'm going to yank the plug. I'm not interested. And then they'll start to go to our media, and you'll create more and more and more of a division. That division will get wider and wider and wider. And pretty soon we won't even be able to have a dialogue with each other because they're so entrenched with their side and they don't hear anything else. Our side, we give what we believe to be the case, and there's just an absolute disconnect. And that's a precursor to eventual meltdown and anarchy. Now, I'm not preaching that I want anarchy. I'm just telling you that when you divide, then separate that division, and then cease dialogue, which will eventually happen, you've got nothing but trouble with no communication. I pray it doesn't happen, but I'm telling you, in the media, that's what's going to happen.
Folks, if you like the Political Cesspool, you'll love the Liberty Roundtable show hosted by my good friend Sam Bushman. Five times the fun. It's a Monday through Friday event right here on the Liberty News Radio Network. Thank you so much, Sam.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be back with the third hour right after this. We're going to get back into the Russia-Ukraine situation. Stay tuned for that.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.